Well, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I said, God is good. Hallelujah. You know, God is doing so many wonderful things. I was in, I was seeking the Lord. I've been seeking the Lord this week, but also, especially yesterday, I kind of tapped into some stuff that was really, really a blessing to me. You know, and as I was seeking God, you know, last week I taught a message, and it was loosely based on what I was planning on teaching. Praise the Lord. I taught on being led for the most part. But, you know, there was a lot of rabbit trails in that sermon. There's a lot of different ways it goes. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, that'll happen depending on who comes, how they come, why they've come. Praise the Lord. See, God wants to lead us and guide us, and He wants to teach us things. And so He's going to meet people as they're hungry and as they desire and the specific needs of the people that come. So even though there's a message that's planned or preached, there can be rabbit trails that take us different ways, and it will deal with different things. And I've heard many of you come to me, you know, I needed to hear that today, or that spoke right to me. And see, that's exactly what those rabbit trails are. And so you'll often hear me say, how did I get off on all that? You know, that's just my way of saying, you know, I didn't know how he got there, but I got there. Praise the Lord. I went, praise God. So that's where we went. And you know, but there was more to that sermon that I sensed that this week that the Lord wanted us to get into. And so today we're going to get into it. And I don't even remember the scriptures I used last week. We may use some of the scriptures that we used last week. I sense there's a lot more that we're going to use. But I say all that to let you know that God is, there's some things He really needs us to get into. Amen? The message that I'm teaching you about today, it's called Led by His Spirit. Being led by His Spirit is such an important part of our lives. This is, actually, I will say this, it is everything to us. Being led by God's Spirit is everything to the Christian. Yet most Christians aren't led by the Spirit at all. They're not led by the Word at all. You know, I was in the Word yesterday. And I'm going to tell you, and this, I'm just going to throw this out there. For anybody who's hungry, wants to go further with God, I was reading John 14, 15, and 16. And you would do yourselves good to take some time and read over those three chapters. They're not super long, but read over those chapters and really dig into it and say, Lord, reveal to me what you want me to see in here. Because there's some things in there, there's a lot that's talked about in there that is so pertinent to our lives. And there's a lot in there that will answer a lot of questions. Remember, our God is a God of answers, not a God of questions. God is not mysterious. He tells us how He's going to work. He told us how He's always going to work. He's not mysterious. He's not hiding from us. He's taught us how He's going to do it, and how He's going to do it is the same as it always was. Praise the Lord. But see, God is a God of answers. And in there, you will be able to see, if you read it with an open heart to Him, you'll be able to see, even you'll start to see why, well, maybe this is why, you know, this didn't work for those Christians or that didn't work for those Christians. You see, it's important to understand that God is leading us by two main purposes. Now, last night in Corey, I told you, and this is why I told you to go back if you can get those archives or listen to those archives, it would do you good. Because last night I talked about the importance of the Word and Spirit, praise the Lord. And it's very important to understand we are a Word and Spirit church. We are not Word only, we are not Spirit only. And I am planning on going to all this, but I'm going to go down this road a little bit. Amen? There's two ditches on the side of the road. There's one ditch where people are only Word, and then there's one ditch where people are only Spirit. The people who are only Spirit are always goofy and wacky and fruity and flaky. They're what we call the granola Christians, amen? And then on the other side of the ditch, we have the people who are Word only, and they're the ones that are hyper-religious. They're the ones that want to jab the law down everybody's throat. They're the ones that want to go up and smack everybody who's doing something wrong on the head with the Bible. See, that's not the will and purpose of God. God and the desire of the Lord either, but we have to understand we are to be led by His Word and His Spirit. And when we mix both together, we go right down the center of the road. We go right down where God wants us to be, and we don't fall off into either ditch on either side of the road. We drive right down the center. It's freshly paved and good to go, and we just take off and go. Hallelujah. Because that's what God's intended for us. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that things in a Word and Spirit church, you have to understand, there will be times where we experience the move of the Spirit, which is a very tangible thing. I've had the Spirit of God on me so strong that I couldn't stand before. It's a physical thing. It happened. But on the other hand, we'll have messages where we just teach. Why? Because the Word is important. The Spirit is important. And as we follow the Spirit, He's going to lead us and guide us. But today we're going to be talking about being led by His Spirit. This is where so many Christians go wrong. Amen? One of the greatest joys as a believer is the ability to be led. I'm telling you right now, the greatest joy. If you've been somebody who has had a rough life like I had, then you understand the ability to be led is so important, because being led will take you into all the things that you need. God does; He never leads us into trouble. And what I mean by trouble, I mean it's something we can't get out of. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 says, but He will lead us through it. He'll take us to the other side, and if we trust Him, we'll go to the other side. But only if we trust Him and only if we're led. If we start going off on our own path, then we're going to stay right in that valley. And that's why so many believers get in the mess and they stay in the mess, because they don't do what the Word says. And see, if you don't do what the Word says, praise the Lord, you're not going to have what the Word brings you. Glory to God. Being led will be affected by what you do or don't believe. It just will. I said this last night, and I really, this was by the Spirit, this was inspired, and this is really, really awesome. You have to understand that. Not because I said it, because the Lord, the Spirit gave it to me. If your understanding of the Word is wrong, then so will be your leading. If you understand the Word wrong, then you will never be led by God correctly. This is why people, they'll be in, say, extreme Pentecostal churches, and they prophesy over everybody. And they'll say, and they truly love the Lord. They truly have a zeal for God. But see, they're not taught right. And so because they're not taught right, they get off in something goofy and weird, and they say, well, the Lord shared this with me. But see, it wasn't God. Because God always leads according to His Word. He never leads apart from His Word. He is always going to lead us in line with His Word. That's why the Word to a Christian is so, so, so important. That's why we preach the Word so, so, so much. Because if we get led by the Word, if we get followed by the Spirit can work with the Word, and He works that perfection into us. And that's how we go into all, that's how we make the right decisions. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be talking about some examples of being led. But remember this, if your understanding of the Word is wrong, then so will your leading be wrong. It won't be right. That's why people say, God is not, now this, well, praise God, I don't know if I said this in here, God doesn't lead by signs. I said, God does not lead by signs. God is not a sign God anymore. Jesus told us that an evil and perverse generation seeks after a sign. God doesn't lead by signs. You know, there's no maybe that was God. I'm just clearing things up, just helping you. Because I remember living this way. I remember thinking, well, maybe that was God. No, the Bible says to find out if it's God and then run with it, glory to God. God wants us to move in faith. What is faith? Faith knows what you're doing. Faith says when I go out there and get my car and turn the key, it's going to get up, start up and go, and I'm going to drive down the road. This is the thing. When you get in your car every day, you get in it in faith. That's ultimate faith right there. You don't expect you're going to get in an accident. Otherwise, you'd never get in the car. You don't expect you're not going to make it to your destination. Otherwise, you'd never get in the car. Praise the Lord. I think about this. It's somebody driving across one of those big deserts. You know, they put a road right through the middle of the desert with nothing in between. And it's miles and miles and miles of desert. You wouldn't get in a car that you were pretty sure is going to break down partway through, would you? No. See, that's what faith is. Faith says that it's going to happen, so I'm going to get in. And you'd be surprised if it didn't happen. Praise God, and that's how God wants us to be led. This is not trial and error. Our Christian walk should not be trial and error. Our lives should not be trial and error. It should be, well, maybe this will work, maybe this won't work. I'm not saying we know all things up front, but we do know enough. God gives us enough of what we need at the moment, and He will carry us through. He'll bring us through into the promised land if we're willing to go. But see, it all happens based on whether or not we'll be led. Psalm 23:3, just go ahead and look at it up here. Look at the scripture. Take down the reference. Look at it later. He restores my soul. I love this. You know, we got into the Psalm 23rd Psalm last night. You know, everybody talks about the 23rd Psalm, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise the Lord. In the 23rd Psalm tells us everything we need to know about God. And yet so many people, they have it cross-stitched on doilies, they'll have it on pillows, they'll have it in wall hangings, and they'll still won't have any idea what any of it's about. They'll still say, it's God that gives and takes away. But that's not our God. He's the one that restores my soul. That's the one that in other words, He renews my mind. Praise the Lord. He renews my mind. That means if you've got, listen, I was a person who suffered from horrible depression. horrible mental issues. I had crazy mental issues. There was times when I thought I was where I thought I was clinically insane. I was diagnosed with all kinds of different things and on all kinds of different medicines. Why am I not that way anymore? Because He restores my soul. That word soul is mine. He renews my mind. But guess what? It's not going to happen by me just thinking about God. It's not going to happen by me just sitting around by the wayside thinking, well, you know, it'd be nice if I went to church. Glory. No, going to church, hearing the word of God. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You cannot build your faith if you're not hearing the word, and you can't hear the word if you're not going to church. Right. Praise the Lord. He restores my soul. That means your soul ain't going to be restored if you're not doing it His way. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, at the very least, if you can't believe that God will lead you in paths of righteousness for your own sake, at least look at the word and see that He'll do it for His sake. Why? Because every Christian believer carries His namesake. When you say, I'm a believer in God, when you say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when you go out in the world and say that, people start looking at your life and they start seeing things in your life and they'll start picking your life apart. Have you noticed that since you've been a Christian? Oh, they love to do it. They won't do it with any other religion. You can have a religion that actually tears apart people, that actually kills women, that actually kills homosexuals, and yet everybody wants to support that religion, but our religion that just says those things are wrong. That's all we do. We don't kill anybody. We never teach anybody to kill anybody, and yet they want to vilify us. They want to shut our mouths. They want to shut us down. They say, you can't say things like that. That's hate speech. But then they'll support people that actively kill and destroy other people. Oh, glory to God. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. See, people will pick apart your life because you're a Christian. Why? Because you're named by the name that is above all names. There's a real devil in this world that hates the Son of God, that hates Jesus, and hates you because you were created in His likeness. And so he will do everything to get you destroyed, to get you off. But see, we don't have to worry about that stuff if we stay in the will of God. It's all about us. It's all about what we're willing to do and what we're not willing to do. Our Christian walk is simply, the blessing of the Lord is simply about what you are either willing to do or what you're not willing to do. If you want, you can have, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. I don't care if you've spent 70 years being the worst person on earth. If you turn towards Jesus and start serving Him, your life can change around today. You can have everything He promised you, but it cannot happen unless you decide to go that way. It will not happen unless you decide to go that way. What is the difference between me and somebody who's just like me that never got the help? I submitted to God. I said, Lord, I will do your word. I will find you as best I can. I'm not perfect. Dear Jesus, I'm proof positive you don't got to be perfect. Glory to God. I just love the fact that I don't have to be perfect. Pastor Michael prophesied over me not too long ago. And he said, it's the things that you think that are a hindrance in your life that the Lord can actually use, because it proves that it's not by your ability, but by His. See, every time I stand in front of you and preach a message, every single time I do that, it gives glory to God, and you may not even realize it because you didn't know me before. But there's people that don't that couldn't fathom how I could stand here and do this, including me, on a weekly basis, only by the ability God places within us. I am an extreme example. Not everybody stink as bad as I stunk. Amen? Not everybody is that terrible. Everything I did failed and everything I did was wrong. But see, God changes that because He leads me in the paths of righteousness. See, when people look at Christians, they look to see what their God really is, because people are looking. People are looking to see God in you. Praise the Lord. They look to you. I've seen people that hate God and they've had times of trouble and they come to me just because they knew I was a Christian, not because I was a pastor, but just because they knew I was a Christian, they came to me for answers. They'll do the same thing with you because there's something about it. See, this world, the Bible tells us this world speaks of our God. Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to Proverbs 20:27. Praise God, hallelujah. He restores my soul. He renews my mind. You know what? If you deal with thoughts that are bad thoughts, you need to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you that you renew my mind today. I thank you, Lord, you renew my mind. How are you going to get by the confession of your mouth? If you continually say it's always bad, it's always terrible, I always suck, everything is always falling apart, then guess what's going to happen? All that stuff That's exactly what it's going to be. But until you can learn to put a watch over your mouth and start speaking the right things, you ain't going to have anything different than you ever had. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You may say, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't believe that. Fine. Then don't change. Yeah. Try what I'm saying and see it change. Yeah. But don't try it and just sit there in your mess. Praise the Lord. Your dirty diapers. Sit there in your dirty diapers. Nobody changing you. Nobody going to change. You got to get up and clean yourself. Be a big boy, big girl. Praise the Lord. Get up, change yourself, wipe it off, and go on and do the will of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I use so many examples right here. Should I use them? I don't know. If I've got questions, I probably shouldn't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, there's that saying, don't cry it over spilled milk. You know what I mean? If you don't make it all the way to the bathroom, well, glory to God. Clean it up and walk on. Just get up and start moving on. If you can't, you know what I'm saying? At some point, we got to stop being brought. The devil's going to throw things at us all the time. Guess what? If you haven't learned yet that you got an enemy, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to save you a lot of trouble thinking right now. God doesn't hate you, but the devil does. And because the devil hates you, he's after you. He's going to try to take things from you. He's going to try to remove from you. But you know what? And even if he gets through once in a while, that's okay. Fine, he got through. What are you going to sit there and cry about it all day? No, just stand up, wipe yourself up, clean yourself up real nice, and move on with God. See, as long as we stay wrapped up in our own mess, that's what we're going to continue to have. That's why the devil does it, because he knows that people will just be so consumed with their thoughts. Oh, you said something really stupid this time. Praise the Lord, you did something really bad this time. Oh, you won't ever come back from that. Get out of here, devil. The Bible says you resist him and he'll flee. That resistance is an acceptance. Amen? When you resist, you're pushing away. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. Did you find it? Look at this. The spirit of the man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does a lamp do? Shines light. I don't know why, but as I was thinking about this or meditating on this scripture, I was thinking about, what kept coming to my mind and my heart was the idea of a headlight on a car. You know, I don't know if they still call them lamps or something, you know, but they used to call them lamps. I don't know if they still do or not, but and we all call them headlights, but I think, you know, literally it'll say like lamp or something like that on the package. And that's what I kept getting onto. But I was thinking about that. You know, if you're driving down the road and it's nighttime, you know, it's helpful to have the lights, right? What do? They show you the path. They show you where you're going to go. There can be darkness all around you, but as long as you're facing forward, that's why they don't put headlights on the back of the car. Because it wouldn't do you any good to be driving forward with the lights shining backwards, would it? But see, this is the way a lot of people live, is they live so focused on what's behind them that they're not even looking what's in the road ahead of them. They're focused over here. They're lost over here. They're not focusing straight ahead. You see, we need to put our eyes on the goal and then just keep it there. God will show us the way that our path should be. He'll look at how that says this. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Your spirit is God's headlights for your life. Your spirit. That means the thing inside you, who you really are. And we're going to talk more about that. But who you really are. Your spirit is the lamp of the Lord. Your spirit is what he uses to show you the way. Glory to God. That's pretty exciting. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. Because when you get knowledge of this, you don't ever have to go astray again. When you get knowledge of this, you don't ever have to go down the wrong road again. When you get knowledge of this, there won't be nothing that jumps in front of you. You won't see first. See, that's what the devil does. The devil is like the deer on the road that jumps in front of you. You didn't see it. Smash! Isn't that what happens? I love these analogies. I'm going to keep going with it. But isn't that what happens? You're driving down the road. Something jumps in front of you. Smash. You didn't plan on hitting the deer. Most people don't see a deer and speed up. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're driving a little car. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? I've been in little cars before. You certainly don't speed up. I hit two deer on the expressway once doing 70 miles an hour. Two deer in a Toyota Camry. And I'm going to tell you, I know about hitting deer in little cars. Praise God. Hallelujah. Needless to say, I didn't drive very far afterwards with that car. It's amazing what it did to him, too. You would have thought a semi hit those deer. But that little Toyota Camry, it tore him up. But anyways, But Satan is like, that's what Satan does. We're walking down. If you look at our lives as a path, if you look at your life as like a road and you're driving down the road and you're going and everything's hunky-dory, praise the Lord, the sun's shining, all of a sudden the sun starts going down, it's still a nice evening. You know what I'm talking about, driving around here in the summertime, and you're driving around and then all of a sudden, boom, there's a deer right in front of you nailed. That's exactly what the devil does. He comes unexpectedly. He walks about as a thief looking to see who he may devour. He's looking for somebody. And see, what happens is the difference is people that get out of the car. You know what happened to me? This happened to me when we were doing this building project. It did. This happened to me as we were doing this building project. I was driving home late one night after putting in all these hours. I was driving my buddy home that was helping. And I was going down Baker Street. It was one of those nights where it seemed like even the headlights didn't work. It was so dark outside. And all of a sudden, going exactly 55 miles an hour, not a tick over. I'm saying that because this is recorded, praise the Lord. But I was going exactly 55 miles an hour, not a bit over, praise the Lord. And I come down and I turned to my buddy, because I've been sensing, this is about being led, right? I've been sensing in my spirit I was going to be getting a new vehicle. We'd been looking into it. But see, one of the things where we were so upside down in my car, and because of some other bad mistakes where we didn't listen to the Spirit, yeah, because we had bought this truck, and the Lord, as I was going to buy it, the Lord said, don't do it. Well, in my spirit, I knew not to do it. We did it anyways. 5,000 miles later, the engine blew up. Couldn't be mad at God about that one, right? He told me not to do it. But anyways, so we'd gotten the new vehicles, and we compounded, and just it kept adding that on. And so we were head over heels, and I had just got done looking into maybe a couple weeks before or whatever, I had been looking into a new vehicle because I started sensing that a new one was coming. And see, the Lord will show you things to come. I was sensing a new vehicle was coming. And so, but I'm not just a fool. I didn't just go out and buy anything. I was seeking the Lord, making sure I found the right one. And so as we're driving down the road, I literally turned to Justin and I said, I'm going to be getting a new car or something like that. My new car is about to come or something like that. I was speaking faith. I turned back and there's a deer in the road. And I mean, I turned for a split second. I'm talking like as long as you could go like that. And because I was sitting there having a conversation with them driving down the road, you understand. I'm not an idiot completely anyways. Praise the Lord. So all of a sudden there's this deer in the middle of the road and I hit the deer and the next thing I see is airbags. Praise the Lord. And I pull off to the side of the road, and we're choking out because of the smell and all this stuff, and it was terrible, and you know, in the flesh, and for a moment, you want to be like, you're like, what the heck? You know what I mean? What's that? Yeah. You want to be like, Todd, where's my gravel? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is our new saying for what the heck, Todd, where's my gravel? So if you hear that, oh, did he? Why didn't he know all that? I love the sign, though. I just think it's just. Well, praise the Lord. So anyways, we're like, what the hell? Everything's, and we pull off to the side of the road. The front end of the car is smashed up. The deer is dead. I mean, this deer ain't moving at all. It was so dead. And the entire front end of the car smashed up, and the airbags come out. You know, we're sitting there, coming out. Everybody's fine. You know, just me and him. We're both good. And you know, the policeman, I think it was a state trooper, came by and told me to drive the car home. Yeah, the insurance company loved that one too. But at any rate, we got the car home. And they sent out the insurance adjuster. They were really surprised that it was at my house. But they came by and looked at it, and the guy told me, he's like, you know what? He's like, I'm telling all this for a reason. There's a purpose to it. He's like, you know what? He said, most cases when the airbags deploy, the car's total. And I'm like, wow. That's pretty heavy, you know. I just wanted it fixed, of course, but that was pretty heavy. And so he said, well, we'll get back to you. And, of course, you know, you want to know how much you're going to get back for it because you want to know if you're going to pay it off. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is what was awesome. This is about what's awesome about how things work for a believer. Now, see, I could have had a fit and stuff, but I've learned enough to stay in faith. Well, so what happened was the insurance adjuster came back to me, and this is what we owed on the car. We knew that because I had been looking into it that I could only get so much for the car. I don't remember what the exact numbers are. That's the only reason I'm not using this. But to make a longer story shorter, they gave us 4,000 more than we were going to get on trade-in, and it completely paid off what we owed on the car. See, in the moment of time, that what the devil meant for bad, God can make it good. Because I serve God, because I'm after God. I remember a time I was turning onto a road back when I wasn't serving God, and some lady was driving up the street without her lights on at nighttime, and she turned into me and hit me, and I still, the insurance company even said, but the policeman didn't even put it down on a report or anything. I'm trying to think of a good word to use it because I'm thinking I want to keep my language right here and stuff. But I got hosed out of out of that, and I didn't at the time. I was dumb enough to have a really, really big deductible on my car, and so I couldn't get it fixed. I had to drive around with a bungee cord and everything else for forever. But I wasn't serving God then. See, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. See, even something as simple as a car, I don't know if the devil or an angel kicked that deer out, but I'm glad they did. Why? Because that's why I drive the truck I drive now. It's not, I didn't go out and even on that, I got that truck $7,000 less than what it appraised for. So when we got the truck, we just happened, a good Christian guy sold it to me, knowing that, praise the Lord. But you see, that's how the things work out for a believer when you're led according to His purposes, when you follow God, when you're not all caught up in the world and the mess. See, I could have looked at any of these situations and just been like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's like, no, the Lord takes care of everything for me. So I ain't worried about nothing. I said, I ain't worried about nothing. I don't care what rises up. See, this is what being led does. Amen. The heart in the scripture, and I just want you to tell you this, the heart, when you translate, if you get into the concordance, it literally means the belly or the womb. Have you ever heard of the gut instinct that people talk about? Well, if you're in the world, gut instinct isn't worth a load of gravel. Praise the Lord. But if you are a child of God, if you are being led by the Spirit of God, that gut instinct will save your life. It's everything to you. When you know that something's off on something, don't do it. When you know somebody's off, then you watch it. Yeah, absolutely. I don't let my kids go around anybody. When somebody comes around, I got to check about. Guess what? We got to check about it. That's why we have ushers here. Why? Because in case we get checks about somebody. I've instructed all of my ushers. I said, if someone comes through the door, you don't have to be all up in their stuff, but if somebody comes through their door acting weird or you get a check about them, then you keep your eye on them. Why? Because that's how we keep churches clean. Praise the Lord. Because we don't let anybody come in and do whatever they want to do because that's dumb. Right? I love all this stuff about open borders and stuff like this. I'll go a little bit of political rant, but all this stuff about open borders. Would you keep your doors wide open for everybody and anybody who wants to walk in? Well, how about somebody said, we're going to want to come in and kill you? Would you do it for them? Well, how about let's not do it for a whole country's full of people that want to do that to us? Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But see, you don't have to be very smart. All you got to do is have a little bit of intelligence to know that, not everybody out there wants our best interests. If you don't like me, I'm not going to let you come in and just do whatever you want in there. Praise the Lord. There's people who have been coming to our churches before in the Jamestown Church. When I was an usher, I remember this one lady coming to the church, and I had an instant check about her. Well, it didn't take me very long to realize that check was important. So I was sitting there watching her like I was supposed to do. And she gets up, and she goes up during the service. She gets up and starts approaching one of the kids, one of the teenagers, and starts questioning him. I'm like, ma'am, you don't talk to our – you don't come in here and just start – listen, you got to be normal about things. And if you're going to come in, and what she was, and she had come to our church a couple of times. Well, what her purpose was is to try to show how we were some kind of weird cult. And she couldn't ever find that. She didn't come back or whatever. But I had another guy come in the church where I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. It's important. I had another guy walking up the stairs, and as he was walking up the stairs, I didn't know anything about him. But as I saw him walking up the stairs, it was like instantly in my spirit, I knew there's something off with him. And so I told my head usher at the time, I told him, I said, I got a check about this guy. And he didn't even get it. He didn't pick up on the check because not everybody does, but I did. So I followed it. So I stayed back and I watched him. And partway through the service, Pastor Katie was preaching. Pastor Tim wasn't there. He gets up. He's sitting in the back. He gets up and he's going like this in the back of the church. And then he starts going like this back in the church. Now, something's off when you start acting like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you may have problems and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch you. Listen, just because somebody doesn't like it, just because it might hurt somebody's feelings, if you're acting squirrely, you're going to be watched. Why? Because it makes sense. You know what I mean? I know this person does all these things horrible and they do bad things, but I'm going to send my kids with them anyways. Come on. What kind of world? I mean, this society really wants you to think this way. It wants you to be okay with men who think they're women going into a women's bathroom. When my daughter's in there, I don't like that. And I don't think I should have to justify. Why? Because there's something wrong with somebody who doesn't realize by looking. When you can look at yourself and you can see. I mean, this guy, people aren't even blind is what I'm talking about. They can look at themselves and they can see what they are. The equipment you're born with, that's what you are. Just because you think something different doesn't make it so. And see, people thinking that way, that's why the word of God gets lost on people. Because they think, well, if I think this about the Lord, then this might be so. It's just like worship. Why do we worship the way we do? Because we worship the most scriptural way we can. Why don't we have flags out here? Because God never told us to wave flags. There's nothing in the Bible about waving flags for worship, so we're not going to do it. Praise the Lord. Why don't we have dance teams? Choreographed dance teams. Why don't we do this stuff here? Because there's nothing in the Bible about choreographed dance teams. Now, there is stuff about dancing before the Lord. Glory to God. When the Spirit gets moving, you might do it. But we're not talking about being Tinkerbells and floating around, girls with tight outfits all over the place. We're not into that. It is not about a show. I tell my son, I said, what you sing better be on the screen. And most of the time it is. I don't want him performing. He is not to perform, right? Why aren't you to perform? That's not what it's for. The purpose of worship is not for you to like the music. It is to enter, to get the Spirit moving, to get us into a place where the Word can be taught the way that it needs to be taught. You see, we understand these things. But if you don't understand the Word, you won't understand all these things. Well, I want to worship the way I want to worship. Pastor Tim had a woman come in and said, I'm here to dance for the church. He's like, no, you're not. Some things you don't have to be led on. And I need to throw that out there. We need to understand these things. If you have natural knowledge of something, you don't need to seek God. Praise the Lord. You don't need to seek God. You know something is bad. You don't need to say, Lord, should I? How about if you're trying to get a spouse? I don't want anything to do with God. Then you don't get anything to do with me. How about that? I mean, this is the things that we have to think of. When we know that it's bad, we don't have to seek God. God isn't going to talk to us in things that he's given us the wisdom on. If you know that your brakes are failing in your car, you can't say, well, bless God, I'm going to go out there and stay in faith and believe I'm going to get to the other side. You're going to end up dead. And then everybody else is going to be like, why such Joe Blow? He was a wonderful Christian. Why did he die? Because he didn't listen to the reason. He didn't look at something he knew was wrong and not do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, common sense. God works in common sense. Praise the Lord. And we need to get teaching more about common sense before our kids, before it's lost in society and nobody knows what common sense is anymore. Listen, if somebody's doing something wrong and bad, then they don't get the right to do it. You know, that's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Romans 8 through 13. We're talking about being led today. Look away. Romans 8, 13 and 14 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. This is the same thing that God basically said to Adam and Eve. Don't listen to your flesh. Listen to what I tell you. If you live according to your flesh, you will die. That doesn't mean that if you do something according to your flesh, you're just going to drop dead instantly. But you can't be surprised when you do things that your flesh wants and only your flesh wants, when wisdom would tell you not to do that. You can't do that and expect that nothing bad's going to happen. You can't live that way. But look at this. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does all this mean? If by the Spirit, you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. The Spirit of man is a candle, the lamp of the Lord. He will lead us and guide us according to the Spirit on the inside of us. How do you put to death the deeds of the flesh? How about this? Sometimes you may be going to eat something because you want it really bad. And on the inside, you're like, I just don't know about that. That is exactly what being led by the Spirit is. See, if by the Spirit, but see, this is the problem, is that a lot of Christians don't spend any time building their spirit or listening to the Spirit that they don't even know. They miss these signs that come. Not signs, but they miss these warnings. We're going to see this more. Praise God. Look at this, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God wants to lead us. So is there anyone who doubts that God wants to lead us? Raise your hand. God wants to lead us. Amen? Okay, now we'll flip back all the way back to 1 Kings. It's towards the beginning of the Bible in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 19. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. 1 Kings is before 2 Kings. Praise God. I'm just trying to help you out. See, you didn't even need revelation on that. You probably knew that already. You said, Pastor Jeff, you're telling me something I already knew. See, this is common sense. 1 Kings came before 2 Kings. Praise the Lord. Then he said, God said to Elijah, this is God's revelation to Elijah. Then he said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Praise the Lord. A still, small voice. See, God isn't leading by major things unless something catastrophic is about to happen. God doesn't want to lead us by a loud, booming voice. He wants us to be so sensitive to him that he can brush up against us and we just flow in that direction. He's going to lead us here and he's going to lead us here. See, that's what leading is. The leading of the Lord is. He doesn't, because God isn't about being bombastic on people. He isn't about like crashing into people and destroying people and just like and hitting people in the head with Bibles. He wants to lead them and guide them. He wants to show you. But see, here's, I want to reference this. Don't turn there. Just write it down if you want to. Look at it up here, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians is after 2 Kings and after 1 Kings, but before 2 Thessalonians. Praise the Lord. In case you didn't know, that you will also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. The King James Version says, study to be quiet. See, one of the problems with our society is that people are so busy that they don't study to be quiet. They don't know how to be quiet. And when people don't know how to be quiet, they don't know how to hear from God. If your life is always like this, this, going here, going there, going over here, up here, you're not hearing from God. I'm just telling you, you can't hear from God. Why? Because God speaks in a still, small voice. If you're constantly satisfying the flesh, doing, well, I think this is right and I want to do this and and you don't take time to sit down and get before God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do here? How do you want me to do this? How do you want me to handle this situation? This is why I hear from God, because I take those moments. I take those times before I have sermons. Why can I prepare a sermon? Because I go before the Lord and I seek the Lord. I say, Lord, what do you, I get quiet before God. I even tell my family, I don't want a lot of chaos. If you got chaos in your house, you need to correct that and get it out. Get it out your house. You don't want chaos in your house. God does not work in chaos. He works in order. He's quiet. We need to study to be quiet. We need to aspire to lead a quiet life. It's important. There's so much happening around us. This is why. See, I'm not against sports. I am not against extracurricular activities. I am against them when they take away people from the house of the Lord. When these things take people away from the house of the Lord, it destroys their lives. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I've seen marriages fall apart because of that, and people wonder why. And it all based right here. See, God is a still, small voice. If you don't hear from God, you aren't going to have the direction for God. From God, for you or for your family or anyone else. You won't be able to hear from God, and you won't know what that leading is like because you won't be able to hear it. God has never intended us to work 90 hours a week. If you work, you're out of the will of God, I'm telling you right now. Yeah, you can't work 15 full-time jobs. You can't do it. I don't care what it looks like. The Lord has led us to less, and he has supplied more in those times than we could ever have. Because we followed God. God, if you trust God, he will lead you into all the blessing that you need. It may not happen in the exact instant you think it should. It may not look exactly like you think it should in the moment. But God will always lead you into blessing. He always leads us into blessing. I'll give you a great example. One time, I was seeking to be more with my pastor. I was seeking to serve him more and serve him better. And I wanted to, because I knew that there was something more I had to do there. Now, this was a call I had. And you have to keep this in mind while I'm talking. If you sense something in your heart, then you have to foster those things in your heart. So I was my pastor's usher, and that also happened by the leading of God and things and me responding to it. But I was his, I was growing in my relationship with him as serving him and so on and so forth. And I was in his office after service one day, and I was in there, and he was just talking to me about how he was called to go to California. To go out there and preach in the ministry school. And I hadn't traveled only but once or twice with him, right? Twice with him. Now, I had traveled, and they were both, it just seemed like what were accidents, but I was just doing what I had to do. Now, see, this is something my wife and I, when I left a full-time job to start a business led by the Lord, a year and a half later, we closed that business led by the Lord, being led by the Lord to close it. Why? Because he was showing me stuff. He was teaching me stuff. At the time, we didn't understand. But one thing we knew is I said, I know I had to have more time for the church. We both agreed with this. And this is a wonderful thing about having a husband and wife that serve the Lord, is because when you both agree on something, you know that it's truth. If you're not in agreement on something, if a husband and wife are not in agreement on something, then you need to get before God and find out why, because something's off. You should always be able to agree on something. Husbands and wives. I'm just telling you that's the way we should go. If there's a disagreement, you need to get into agreement. Why? Because your prayers, the Bible says your prayers can't even be answered if you're in disagreement. Yeah, so you can pray, but it ain't going to do any good. Well, praise the Lord. So anyways, we were in agreement some things, and I knew I had to do certain things, and it had to look a certain way. And sometimes we went by what we were led with, what seemed right to both of us. And when the check was good before both of us, that's what we went with. And so we did that. And so I'm standing in his office, and he's talking about this, and I just sensed something in my spirit. And so I said to my pastor, I said, Pastor Tim, I said, do you want me to go with you? And he's like, I'd love to have you go with me. But he's like, I just don't know if we can put that expense on the church right now, you know, because it was going to be doubling the plane fare. It was going to be doubling the hotel stay, all the stuff, and the food and all these things. And so I said, and I just said to him, I said, what if I found my own way there? I said, would you want me to be there? And he said, he's like, I would never ask you to do that. But he basically let me know. Humbly, because my pastor would never ask me for, in fact, I have to force myself sometimes to find out what he wants so I can bless him. But he would never ask me for that, but he's, I knew that it would bless him. And I knew, now listen to this, I knew that my purpose, at least for that time, and still is, was to serve him, okay? I'm not saying I don't want all of you like coming up to my house, knocking on my door, saying, you know, trying to figure it all out. Like when there's something in your heart, then you do it. You follow God, and you know, for me or anybody else, it doesn't matter. But you understand what I'm talking about. This was my calling, my purpose. I knew it was there, and so I went. I went out and I talked to my wife, and she instantly said, "You got to go." Well, listen, we had left a full-time job. I had gone to a business that we invested thousands of dollars in, which we turned around and closed down, praise the Lord. And mind you, all this time, the whole time, everybody is always telling us. They told us not to open the business, then they tell us not to close the business. They tell you what to do, but we're being led by the Spirit. And so I knew that this was going to happen today. I knew that there was going to be a lot more of this stuff. But so at any rate, my wife says to me, she's like, you got to go. Well, we didn't have any money to do it. I mean, I'm working part-time. I'm working full-time at the church getting a part-time paycheck. You see, that's what ministry is a lot of times. So you don't rely on the church for your income is what I'm saying. And I knew that then. But I knew, and I told Pastor Tim, I said, if you need me to work here for free, we know that this is what we're called to do, so this is what we'll do. I was like, if you need to take my paycheck, but he gave me what we had agreed on, and I worked a lot more than that. But praise the Lord. I didn't complain about it. I didn't argue about it, just because I knew I was in the direction of God. And so my wife and I invested in this trip. Well, we didn't know, so we buy the plane ticket. And the plane ticket was a lot. We're doing this on credit. Again, I'm going to stress this. You do not go out and spend on credit unless you have the money to pay it off, unless you are specifically led by the Lord, and make sure that you are led by the Lord. Credit is not good if you are just racking up credit and you can't pay it off. The church has a credit card. We pay it off every single week, every time, or every purchase we make. Praise the Lord. That's how the credit grows so good. Yeah, you're amazing how good a credit you can have when you pay things off. Praise the Lord. Or don't buy things that you can't afford. Amen. Well, glory to God. We're not going down that road. But at any rate, so I was led specifically to the Lord. My wife and I were both led. We both had peace leading on the inside of our spirit. If there isn't peace, it isn't God. If there isn't peace, there isn't God. If there isn't peace in you, if there isn't peace in your spouse, it isn't God. It's the devil. God will never, he will never lead you against your spouse ever, even if they're wrong. God is never going to point out the weakness of your spouse. He will never point out the weakness of your spouse. The devil does. I said the devil does. And there's a lot, we're not preaching on that today, but the devil does. He will never do it. But God will never lead you against your spouse. He will lead you guys into peace together. And you have to, you know, there's a lot to that, but I'm just saying, laying that. So at any rate, we invested all this money into going, and we had no idea that this was the trip. We were in JCPenney's getting some stuff I needed for the trip, and I got a phone call that day, and they were telling us that Dr. Dufresne's plane had crashed. Praise the Lord. Dr. Dufresne's plane had crashed, and him and Brother Mitch had died in the plane crash, and that's where we were going, was to their church. And there's a lot to that too, but I'm not going to go into all that right now. But see, the thing is that we went out there, and then we ended up having to stay there an extra week. So now we're flipping. You know how expensive it is to flip plane tickets around? When you buy a plane ticket for this time and this date, and you don't go on that time and that date, you say, "Oh, I want to change that for a week later." Guess what they do? Oh, they smile big, because that's where they make some serious money off of you. So that's exactly what happened. And so we're adding this up. By the time we were done, this trip ended up, my wife and I ended up putting over $3,000 on the credit. $3,000 led by the Lord. But see, this is all being led by the Lord. The reason I say all this is because within two weeks, every dime of that was paid for, and not one of it was ours. See, God will lead you and guide you into things, but if we don't listen to the Lord, if we don't listen to His Spirit, if we're not led by Him, we'll never see these things. See, this is why things work out more for us now today, not because we're pastors, but because we've learned some of these things, and we're not perfect in them, but we've learned some of these things. We've put things aside, and we said, sometimes we have to spend time focusing on the Lord and not focusing. There's lots of things to do. You know, I use the example often of my son in his senior year. He was running cross country, but he also was driving a car now, and so he had to work part time to get that. And he also was a worship leader at the church, and we were building a church. And I said to him, I was like, "Something's got to give. You can't do all these things." And so he placed the importance in the cross country and went. Why? Because that isn't what Mark's life wasn't going to be based around running cross country. He still runs in races and enjoys it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to be in cross country, but I'm saying when it comes before God, it is wrong. I said it is wrong. If anything in our life comes before God, it becomes a liability to us. It will cause death, and that's being led by the flesh. So don't be surprised when things fall apart. Surprise when things die, when things don't work right, when you're constantly facing trouble, when you're constantly sick or whatever. These things manifest in all kinds of ways. Praise the Lord. So we're getting close here. I know that this is a lot of talking, but I really wanted to share these things with you because I really think that it will help you. Amen. Isaiah 55:6. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good, isn't he? God is so good. He cares about us, that he'll teach us his word. Praise God. You ain't been here longer than we usually are anyways yet, so praise God. Hallelujah. It's just a different flow, I know. But praise God, he's teaching us some things, amen? This stuff will change your life. I see, any message I preach, even if it's bold, we pray for boldness and we need boldness, but you have to understand this, and this hasn't been overly bold, but you have to understand this about boldness. It isn't to make you feel bad. But if it corrects something, we pray for correction and direction. If it corrects something, be corrected. Don't be a baby about it. Just get corrected and then do it differently. Why? Because it will help you. It will help your life. Amen? It'll help those around you. Isaiah 55:6. Look at this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When God moves upon you, when you know you need to do something, that's when you need to start doing what he's saying to do. When you sense it, that's the time. Not waiting for someday down the road. Praise God. Seek him when he's near. Call on him when he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon, but look at, the wicked need to forsake their way. This is something you have to understand. This isn't just like Charles Manson here. When it says wicked, and we're not just talking about Hitler. This is somebody who will have their way above God's way. God calls you wicked. If you will listen to your way above his way, you are wicked. You are evil. You are operating in sin. You are operating exactly against everything he's telling you to. And therefore, you will not have the blessing of God. If you do things solely based on what you want to do, you will not have the blessing of God. I'm going to be so bold as to say this. You might as well not even pray half the time, because it probably isn't going to work. You can't willingly disobey God, have your own way, and then expect God to work in your life. It cannot, will not happen. He will not work in the lives of people who know better, but don't anyways. He won't. Why? Because God isn't a fool. He isn't throwing his pearls. The Bible tells us not to cast our pearls to swine. Do you think that God is going to? Do you think suddenly, well, in his mercy, see, this is why everybody thinks God is so different than we are. He created us in his likeness, in his image, and then everybody's like, well, his love is different than ours. We don't really understand that. Because his love can destroy people. Well, God loves everybody. So even though he destroyed a whole cities for sexual perversion and sin, he's going to be okay with it now. That's foolishness. That's a lie from the pit of hell to get people confused. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It means if you're thinking thoughts that don't line up with the word, they're not righteous. So think thoughts that line up with the word. Change your thinking. Listen, if you're doing something that's wrong, again, we're not bashing you. I'm not sitting here trying to smack you down and make you leave church and feel bad about yourself. For God's sakes, learn something from me. Learn that I am not, I don't hate people. I preach the word, and I preach it boldly because I love people. I will stand on the street corner if need be and preach in people's faces if that's what gets people to turn toward God and have their lives changed. I do not push people away. I come because I love people. I'm doing the work of the Lord, and he does the same thing. Praise the Lord. But he will abundantly pardon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 8, look at this. For my thoughts, the Lord says, are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. See, when you come up with something, it is not God. When you come up with it. When you think, just because you thought it, it's not God. That's why God is not this creation and human minds. But so many people in the church believe God as a creation in their own minds. They think, well, whatever I want God to be, he'll be. That is not how God is. God is truth, and truth is not subjective. Truth does not change today because you feel differently about it. Truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. Truth will always be the truth. It will still be the truth 10,000 years from now. It was the truth 10 million years before. The truth is the truth. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. The Lord said that about himself. He is not doing things differently. He is moving us into the will he always intended for us. People don't understand. That's what Jesus did. Jesus brought us back to Genesis. He brought us back to the blessing. He brought us back to the beginning. He brought us back to the fall. He brought us back to starting over, because God abundantly pardons. He says, I will not be angry with these people forever. I want them led by my spirit, and I've had enough of what the devil has done. So now I'm going to take my spirit, and I'm going to put them in you. And how do you like that, devil? Now my spirit walks around in you. But see, here's the problem, that Christians don't walk around like they got God living on the inside of them. They walk around like there's a devil got on the inside of them. You got to get God on the inside. You got to feel the God on the inside. You got to be led by the Lord to do the things that he's going to show you, because it will abundantly pardon. It will abundantly set free. If you've been dealing with trials, if you've been dealing with opposition, that's okay, because God has put something inside of you that is far greater than what the devil can do. He has put something far greater inside of you than that sickness that you may deal with. He's putting something far greater on the inside of you. Far greater. Because he loves you. He brought us back to Genesis. The beginning. Look in the beginning. If you need to know what God wants for your life, look in the beginning. It's not hard to find it. Just open the book at the beginning. Don't even go to 1 or 2 Kings. Just stay in the beginning. stay there and see how God blessed his people. Glory, glory, glory. Those are his thoughts. Those are his ways. For the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Do you understand something here? His word is the Bible. When he said his blessing is in there, he said it will not come back to him void. So you put his word, his blessing in your mouth, and you start speaking that. How about you start looking at the devil, and you start speaking that? But see, we have to be led. If we're not led by the Spirit, we won't understand this stuff. We won't go this way. We will be led by our feelings if we're not led by the Spirit. If we're not led by the Word and the Spirit, we will be led by our feelings. This feels good, so this is what I'm going to do. And that's where you go wrong. Just don't go wrong. Well, look at this last verse here. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I didn't know trees have hands, but apparently they do. And apparently they're going to clap before me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Apparently the mountains and the hills can sing. We're talking about some good stuff. This ain't the sound of music. This is the sound of God. This is about creation glorifying the Lord and laying down itself for the humanity, because that's what it was meant to do. We are meant to have dominion on the earth. We are meant to be led into this dominion in all that God has given us. Praise the Lord. But notice it says, you shall be led out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. Led out with peace. Peace in your spirit. Peace on the inside of you. I don't know about that. There's your answer. Well, I know I need to do this. There's your answer. Praise the Lord. It's not hard. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not hard. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, oh yeah, I've only got half the scripture that I've gone through, but we're going to close here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I seriously went through half the scripture, is all. For some reason, I didn't think that'd be enough. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, if by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. When we do things led by the Spirit will make you do things that you might never have done. It'll make you forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it. You say, why am I going to be nice to that person? That person just yelled at me. Why am I going to be sweet to them? Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me and led me in the course of love. Why am I going to tip that waitress good even though she was terrible? Praise the Lord. Yeah, seriously. Because the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ, the Bible tells us, the love of Christ compels me, should compel us. That's how we should operate in all things. Operate by the love of Christ. Operate by God. Be led by His Spirit. There's so much more on this. Maybe we'll get into it again. I don't know. But you understand that God wants us to be led by His Spirit. But the first thing to do is get quiet before the Lord and recognize that that Spirit is there, and He will lead you by peace. And as you operate, you can be led by peace, and you'll be led into all things. And God will see there's so much that the Lord has us. The Bible says He'll show us things to come. He'll show us what's coming down the road. He'll show us that deer jumping out before we ever get to it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.